Our lesson today is a very familiar reading. It's the 23rd division of Psalms. And the title is, well, everybody sees that this is, the proofreader evidently didn't read this title because it is just a closer walk with thee. They left out walk. This is another song title, and the author of this song is unknown. And the first time that people began to get aware of it, it was sung in black churches during the 1930s. And I like the song. If everybody's heard Elvis's version of it, it's pretty nice. Anyway, this lesson today, Psalms 23, was written by David. And David is relating, especially the first verse, is relating his experience or counting on his experience when he too was a young man and was a shepherd of his daddy's flock and watched after the sheep. So he uses that as an example of what he has to say in this song. Now, most of David's psalms that were written, as everybody knows, was written for to be sung in the temple. Most of his psalms were in times of turmoil. And he was pleading for God's mercy and for God's help. And this one, this is a little unusual in this is a praise song. And like I say, it's most familiar to everybody. It begins with saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And this is what I was talking about, David relating his life and his experiences as a shepherd, and how it's your duty to watch after your flock, to watch after your sheep. And David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In the 10th chapter of John, and that would be in the New Testament now, in the 10th chapter of John, and the 11th verse, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." So Jesus himself uses this as an example of his relationship with his people or his flock. Then he said that he was the good shepherd. Now, in the 37th Psalm, in the 23rd verse, "For such as he blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they shall be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Now, I read that because it said the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. David said in that psalm, if we are part of the Lord's flock, we shall not want. Now, it's because of what I just read that he upholdeth us with his hands. And he gives us, I believe, everything that we stand in need of. Now, David said that he shall not want. Well, you have to understand that God will provide all things to us if we will humble ourselves and strive to do his will. Now, that's kind of a covenant between God and his children. The covenant that he made with Abraham and all the covenants throughout the Bible, God promised that he would be with them. But the binding part of that covenant that he made was, if you will follow me. Now there's a condition there. So David is saying that how good the shepherd is, and that because of his goodness and because of his protecting hand, we shall not want. Now, that doesn't mean I believe. I don't believe that means that we'll get everything that we want. But I do believe that it means if we remain humble and submissive to this, his will, we will never have need for anything. We will have the basics of life. He never promised us riches, but I don't believe I have ever seen one of his people starve to death. So he provides with us the basic necessities of life, and he blesses us with even more than that. But being the good shepherd, he watches after his flock, and as we, as obedient sheep, follow him. And he says in the second verse, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, or tender grass, or as a child, or as an adult. Do you remember how it was to lay down in new grass? It was just cool and comfortable and felt so good. Well, that's kind of the image that David is portraying here. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Or the translation could be restful waters, peaceful waters. Now, think about the picture that David is painting here of the peace that you can find as a child of God, that he lays us down in the tender grass, and he leadeth us beside the still waters. Now, that conjures up a peaceful picture for God's people, that we can find rest and we can find comfort in the presence of God. It says here, he restoreth my soul. In other words, he uplifts my very soul. In the 51st division of Psalms, let's see, 51st bit and the 12th verse, he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. David said here, he restoreth my soul. Now, we all know that the Bible teaches it's impossible for us to lose our salvation. I mean, that's just what the Bible says. But there are times when we are down and out and feel that we're all alone and there's no one around. And I'm sure David had felt that way too. David felt that way, as a matter of fact, this psalm, this 51st division psalm, was written after David had gone to see Bathsheba. So he was in a turmoil for what he had done. And he was asking God to restore unto him the joy of his salvation. My point I'm getting to is that there comes a time when we're down, when we feel that we're all alone and no one cares. And what we can do is find the joy or search for the joy that we had when God saved our soul. What a time that was. And we can find that by having the joy of our salvation restored. Now, nobody can do that for us. Nobody can do that. But we should always stay in a place that God, that we can reach God and touch His face and be returned to that point in time where we receive joy from our salvation and feel that uplift of spirit that gives us. Or like when we have a good spiritual church service, when we feel God's power here amongst the brothers and sisters, and we feel that uplifting power come to us. What a joy that is. What a comfort that is to feel His Spirit and to feel Him lift us up and bring great joy. David said, He's the one that does that. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And the 31st division of Psalm, these are all Psalms that David wrote. In the third verse, let me read this again. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. In the 31st division of Psalms, in the third verse, it says, David said, For thou art my rock and my fortress. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Who better to lead us and guide us than God Himself? David clears the way for us to understand that that's where we get the leadership from. We get the guidance from. We get the comfort from. You see where David is going with this. Everything that we have that is good in life comes from God. And that's not only our temporal things, the food that we have, the clothes that we have, but it's also, and I think more importantly than the food we have or the clothes that we have, more importantly, He gives us comfort to our very soul. And I think that goes further than anything, just to feel that comforting hand of God in our life. All this other stuff, now we discussed this several weeks ago, it was in one of our lessons, that the birds of the air, I'm paraphrasing here, birds of the air don't worry, they're not to worry about anything because it's all going to be provided to them. Well, that was an example for God's people and the way we should live our life. We shouldn't worry about the stuff, this temporal stuff, because it's going to be provided for us. We should worry about our relationship with God. And this was what David was looking for. He was looking for the title of this lesson. He was looking for just a closer walk. That's what he was looking for. And, you know, we should be looking for that. That closer walk. That would give us comfort and bring peace to our very soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Do you know, every day, every single day, we walk through that valley of death. Every day. We don't know what is around the corner. You know, there's probably thousands of people in this world who were alive yesterday but are gone today. And I would say that the vast majority of those people had no idea that they would not be here today. So every day we walk through this valley of the shadow of death. Death is on our trail. It is walking right behind us, and we know not when, the time or place that's going to occur. But David said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, again, referencing back to a shepherd's, what they call a shepherd's staff. It's got the hook that they use to pull the lambs back to safety and and prod them along. It says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then in the fifth verse now, he changes course a little bit. He has referred to us as a sheep, as a flock of the shepherd. But he changes a little bit here because we know that sheep are followers. They have to be taken care of. That's just their nature. They can't be left to their own selves because, well, they just can't. They just that's just the nature of sheep. They have to be taken care of. They have to be tended to. The shepherds put them in the field, put them in a pasture to graze, and then the summertime, where the grass got dry down in the valleys, they'd have to move them to higher ground, to where there was greener grass that they could eat. So there was always constantly having to move them, having to take care of them, making sure that the wild animals didn't get a hold of them because they have no defense whatsoever. So they're followers. And we too are followers if we want to look at it like that. We're followers of God. We are followers of our Lord and Savior and all that he would have us do. But but David takes a little different course. In this fifth verse, he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. David says here that though we know that the Lord is our shepherd, and he has compared us to being sheep, he realizes, too, that we are honored guest at the Lord's table. And that's a good place to be, as an honored guest at the Lord's table. He said that God will prepare us a table in the presence of our enemies. We have this special place at the Lord's table that he has set up for us, where even our enemies can see that we are a special people. We are that peculiar people that God has set aside. So we have two analogies here. We are followers, as sheep are, but we are also a people that God looks down and loves with all his heart, that he sets aside a special place for us, and that we can come and sit at his table and enjoy the fruits of and rewards that God has prepared for us. And the world, our enemies, can see that. Or at least they should be able to see that. That we're special people, loved by God. And David says that he anointed my head with oil. Now that is a humble act, you might say. We don't do much anointing anymore, like you read in the scriptures, and was done in this part of the world as a show of respect or humbleness or blessing. But David said, he anointeth my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. My cup runneth over. God's people knows what that means. I can relate to my cup running over. This joy and peace that David is talking about fills my cup up, and it has in times run over. And thanks be to God that we as his sheep, we as his people, are able to feel that. To experience that feeling of our cup running over, and what joy that is for his people to be in that closeness with God, that he would look down and fill our hearts. Surely goodness and mercy, or loving kindness, shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I'm going to end my lesson here, but I want to say something about I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I talked about a covenant a while ago that God had made with several people throughout the Bible. And I mentioned Abraham being one. Here we have a covenant that David is making with God. A covenant that was made that says, I have no interest in the world except serving you all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A covenant that David says that he will make, that he will serve God for as long as there's breath left in his body. Have we made that kind of a covenant or commitment to God? Because it takes that commitment to receive all the bounties that we've talked about today. It takes that commitment. You can't go through this life living it your own way and expect to receive all the blessings and the peace and the joy that your salvation is there to bring you if you don't walk in the ways of God. And if you haven't committed yourself to His, to serve Him, then you're missing out on some wonderful blessings. You're missing out on some wonderful times that you can have with God. So we all need to make this covenant. Make it with God. I promise that I will serve you all the days of my life. That's a tough commitment. In this world especially, it's a tough commitment. But God demands it of His people. Because He loves us. He sent His Son to die for us. We should commit ourselves to serving Him and doing what His will might be. Okay, that's my lesson. Anyone have anything they'd like to add? Let me close with this. This psalm is... in its simplest form, expresses our belief in God and that He alone, God alone, is our protector and provider of all our needs. That's what this psalm boils down into. It all comes from God if we will follow Him and do His will. Anyone? Well, I certainly hope so. But we, you know, it's a psalm that you kind of lose contact with. You've heard of it, you've read it, but really take it to heart. Really know where our blessings come from is what makes this such a special psalm. Anyone else? Brother Jimmy, would you dismiss us?